purity is safe. Impurity is risky. Purity always helps us. Impurity always hurts us. Purity is always safe. Impurity is always stupid. Well, these are the words of our special guest here on Renewal. And today our host and teacher, Dr. Gene Getz, will be talking with Randy Alcorn about the purity principle. Here now is Gene.
Well, thank you very much, Alan. And my special guest all this week is Randy Alcorn. He happens to be near Portland, Oregon. I'm here in Dallas, Texas. But Randy, it seems like you're across the table from me. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks, Gene. It's a privilege to be with you. Thanks so much for your ministry.
Well, you've written another great book, The Purity Principle, and I like the way you define that. Purity is always smart, and purity is always stupid.
Well, right. I think sometimes we think only in terms of right and wrong, and of course, what could be more important than right and wrong? Nothing is, but we sometimes miss the fact that the book of Proverbs, the book of Deuteronomy that talks about blessing and curse, Proverbs, of course, talking about wisdom and foolishness, that some of the strongest arguments that are presented in Scripture are not simply that impurity and immorality are wrong, but that they're stupid, they're foolish, they bring destruction to us. As it says in Proverbs, he who touches another man's wife will not go unpunished. So our motivation is not only to do the right thing, but also do the thing that's going to save our lives instead of result in our self-destruction.
Well, you know, you use the word stupid, which I think really is a good English word to go along with the word foolish as it is translated. And I like what you say about 1 Corinthians 2, where Paul said, if you think you stand, take heed lest you fall. And if you don't believe that, then spell your name S-T-U-P-I-D.
That's right. You know, we're so vulnerable. And, you know, the person who's aware of his vulnerability takes steps to protect himself. But if you think that you could never be robbed, then you'll just take the cash and valuables and just lay them out on the dresser and leave the window wide open and put stuff on the front seat of your car and let the windows be rolled down, and you know, and you're going to greatly increase the likelihood that somebody's going to steal from you. And that's really what we do in this whole area of sexual purity. We don't recognize our vulnerability, and as a result, we fail to take the precautions that really prevent it.
Well, in the book, which is entitled The Purity Principle, and I, to be frank, I first went right to your last chapter or conclusion, A Battle We Can Win, and I was intrigued by a paragraph there, and you say, as I look at myself and as I look at my brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm deeply concerned at how careless and morally soft we've become. At times, we're frighteningly weak in our exercise of sexual purity. We watch and are amused by what offends a holy God. Our tolerance for impurity keeps expanding. Sin sneaks in under our radar. We make ourselves defenseless. That's a powerful summary.
Well, I think, Gene, we really fail to realize the nature of this battle that we're in, and we, of course, become desensitized. And I look back as a young Christian to the things that I would not watch or even consider watching, and then I've had to evaluate myself along the way and say, okay, sure, you know, I'm not watching R-rated movies, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that, and yeah, I can always find Christians that are watching stuff that I'm not watching, and if God was grading on a curve, that might go my direction. But the point is that he calls us to a standard of holiness that is way beyond even each other. He says, be holy for I am holy. And he calls us to a holiness that's not self-righteous. Of course, it's empowered by Christ. And yeah, we recognize that we sin and we fall, but we need to be quick to confess. And I think in this arena, I've seen it in my life, and we've had to make some mid-course corrections, my wife and I. Hey, what kind of things are we tolerating? Why are we watching a program that has values in it and situations in it that are clearly dishonoring to God? And why do we expose our minds to that kind of input? And even though by most people's standards, they'd laugh at what I'm saying because they don't think that we watch a lot of the things that they do, but nonetheless, I think it's reason for real concern. And I think we need to go to our knees together. And really hold each other accountable in this arena, because we need to do more than speak up and be honest at accountability groups. We also need to say, okay, how do we need to actually change and help each other raise the bar rather than lower it?
You talk about really desensitization. We're desensitized. It's been subtle, yet it's moving more and more towards openness, flagrant kinds of stuff, even on national television. And somehow we've just adjusted to it. Things that would have shocked us even a year or two ago, it's there, and people are just accepting it. You say that we're really teetering on the verge of doing things that we wouldn't think of ever doing and acting out. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, one of the illustrations I've used with groups before relates to the kinds of movies that we watch with the moral desensitization. And, you know, I say, well, hey, suppose I stood up in front of a church youth group and I said, hey, there's a great looking girl down the street. Let's go, a group of us guys go down and peek through her window and watch her undress and then pose for us naked from the waist up. And then this girl and her boyfriend are going to go into a car and they're going to have sex, and let's listen and watch the window steam up. And you'd be utterly shocked at that. You would think, what a pervert. And you'd be right. But suppose instead I say, hey, come on over, let's watch the Titanic, the movie. Well, that's where those scenes are from. That's exactly what is in that movie. And I know of Christian youth groups that have gotten together to watch the movie together. And yet, it contains those precise scenes. So as our young men lust after the girl on the screen and our young women are trained in, you know, how to get a man's attention, the question is, how does something so shocking and shameful become acceptable? Because instead of watching it through a window, we watch it through a television screen. And I think that's where the deception comes in. We just don't realize how low the bar has been brought down. Our standards of purity seem to get lower and lower as the years go on. And of course, it has a tremendous effect on us, and it makes us more and more vulnerable to all kinds of temptation.
And there's a dichotomy that sets in, and contradiction, and a paradox that somehow we don't even recognize. Well, my special guest all this week here on Renewal, Randy Alcorn, I'm Gene Getz, and we're talking about a book he's written, which I think is so relevant. We'll be talking about it all week and some of these concepts. It's entitled The Purity Principle. You stay with me. I'll be right back.
Thank you, Gene, and thanks so much to your special guest. In just a few minutes, we'll share with you how you can explore this subject more in depth by securing a copy of this powerful little book entitled The Purity Principle. You're listening to Renewal with our host and teacher, Dr. Gene Getz. Gene, today you and Randy talked about desensitization. In essence, the things that used to shock us just don't seem to shock us anymore. Why do you think this happens, especially to those of us who are believers, who are true followers of Jesus Christ?
Well, Alan, I think we've got to recognize that when we become Christians, we're still human. And sexual temptation is a powerful emotion, you know. The feeling, the sensitivity, the attractions that we have, it's a legitimate emotion when it's used as God intended, and it's very, very real. However, you see, much of what we see today is the illegitimate, but it's still attractive because it's related to something that God has created to be a strong attraction, a strong emotion, a strong feeling. You know, the story of Moses certainly tells us that there is pleasure in sin for a season. And of course, it gets really confusing when what God created to be pure pleasure, a pleasure that He smiles on, when it is used illegitimately, you still have the two aspects of pleasure, but you have to make a decision as to what is legitimate and what is illegitimate. So it shouldn't surprise us that we are attracted to what God has created, even though it's being used in an illegitimate way. And that's why it's so important for us to go back to the Scriptures. You know, there's a passage of Scripture that has always ministered to me, and it's found in Ephesians chapter 5, where the Apostle Paul, writing to people who were converted out of a sensuous lifestyle, he said this, once they became Christians, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And then he said this. Now listen carefully, because this is a great measuring stick, as it were, against what we allow to come into our hearts and into our minds and into our eyes. But among you, Paul wrote, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Now, use that particular criteria to evaluate what we see today. What is the attraction in movies? What gives even a PG-13 rating? Isn't it sexual immorality? Isn't it bad language? Think about that for a moment. And let's all think about what we allow to come into our minds and into our hearts in relationship to what we see and what we allow our thoughts to dwell on. Well, I'm Gene Getz, your host, Turn Renewal, and my special guest will be back with me tomorrow to continue this conversation on the Purity Principle. He's written this book entitled The Purity Principle, and I would love to have you have a copy of it. And you can. It's available for a suggested donation of $10. You can contact us at Box 2400, Dallas, Texas, 75221, or you can actually call us at 1-800-RENEWAL. That's 1-800-RENEWAL. Or also, contact us on our website, renewalradio.org. The book is entitled The Purity Principle. Ask how you can get a copy. It's something that you'll want to read and then pass on to your son or your daughter or to a friend. It'll also provide a basis for a great discussion. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow. And when you contact us, think about what you might do to support us financially. If this program is ministered to you, would you minister to us by sending us a special donation? God bless you. And here once again is our contact information.
Thank you, Gene. Once again, our phone number is 1-800-RENEWAL. That's toll free, 1-800-RENEWAL. Or you can find us on the web at renewalradio.org. That's renewalradio.org. And our mailing address is Renewal, Box 2400, Dallas, Texas, 75221. Once again, that's Box 2400, Dallas, Texas, 75221. We hope to hear from you today and trust that you'll join us once again tomorrow, right here on Renewal.